From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of January 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets, not with Dan Zwicker, because I'm traveling today with Farm Credit, and Paul Georgi is with me from Allendale. We'll talk with him about the marketplace and what he thinks we'll see in the next several months. We'll also go through some of the numbers for the day and how they've changed. We'll discuss what the weather forecast looks like. Mike Tenora will be here from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, and Sherry Tomhay will join us from Farm Credit Illinois to take up crop insurance, and we'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We're coming to you from Jacksonville, Illinois, and Hamilton's Catering here, where the Farm Credit Illinois has put on a third event for the week. Thanks to them for having me out and traveling with them. I'll be with them next week. You can check out the calendar at willag.org. On Thursday next week, we'll be in Paris and Milford. So make sure you look at my calendar or go to Farm Credit Illinois and you can find some of those dates. They'll also have events coming up next week in Springfield, and I think the following week, the Southern Tour. I believe they're in Belleville and Lawrenceville and one other place. So you can find all those details on Farm Credit Illinois' website. Well, as you know, I've been traveling all week in Albion on Monday night. That's in Southern Illinois. Drove about 5.5 hours up to Freeport on Tuesday morning and spent the day there. Yesterday, I was in Mahomet and Taylorville, and today, Litchfield and Jacksonville. On the last three events, the Taylorville, Jacksonville, and Litchfield events, Paul Georgi of Allendale has been traveling with us, and he now joins us to talk a little bit about the marketplace and some things that he's got coming up in the near future. Hey, thanks so much for taking time with me today.
It's great to be here. We got a lot to talk about, although we don't have much to talk about. We don't know what the government's going to do, and the shutdown, the trade war, all of those factors have an influence on price. But one of the ways to get some answers on that is to join us for the Allendale annual conference that we've got coming up here next week. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The first day, we've got Drew Lerner. It starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It will be all but Drew Lerner's will be recorded, however, that you can listen to at any time over your computer. But Drew doesn't want it recorded. You have to attend live. So it's 2 o'clock on Tuesday. But you can find all the information out at www.allendale-inc.com.
Actually, Allendale-Inc.com, and that is a really good conference. So if you get the opportunity, visit there early, and you can find out the details and join them, the Allendale crew, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And you can do that in person, or you can do it online, either way, as a webinar, right?
Well, it's a webinar only, so there is no in-person talk. But the neat part of it is you can listen to it live, or you can listen to it recorded, except, again, for Drew. You've got to be there live for him at 2 o'clock in order to get that. But you've got all the we can get all the details for you, get you signed up. So,
absolutely. Again, check out Allendale-Inc.com or just search for Allendale and Paul Georgi. You'll find it. It's really simple to do. So let's talk a little bit about some of these fundamental things that are in the marketplace beyond the issues that you've already mentioned. 955 million bushel carryout for soybeans is just an enormous number. I've heard some of our analysts say 900 million, a billion bushels. It's big enough. It doesn't make any difference anymore. It's just really a weight on the market. However, when you continue to see a nine handle on futures markets, that's a little mind-boggling sometimes.
What is mind-boggling to believe that $9 is still happening in the market? What we find, and we are doing some, and I've had access to some of the preliminary numbers that we're going to be discussing next week, but bottom line is, if you took the size of the ending stocks that we've got and the stocks-to-usage ratios in soybeans, we should be trading at about $7.40 for the 2018-19 bean crop. And with some of the early numbers that we're looking at, without a trade deal, we could be looking at $7.10 on the 2019 crop. So you've got to take into consideration the opportunity that we've got right now, and you ask yourself, why aren't we higher than we are today? Or why are we at the prices that we are today? And I think the reasoning there is that everybody is anticipating higher prices. The other thing is there's no beans moving, so the farmer's not selling. The elevator's filling the needs with whatever supplies that they have, but there isn't any grain moving to town. So if we start moving grain to town, and as I told one farmer today, it's like do you want to be selling your grain when everybody else is selling their grain? You should probably be getting it done a little early, find a way to re-own it or protect yourself in the marketplace. There's a lot of opportunities there. I don't think it's a time where you should just sit and wait and watch like everybody else, because that is what everybody else is doing.
I have a different sort of question about this, because I can understand that the farmer, maybe the trader sometimes, might have confidence that the administration can get a deal struck with China, and that we will have the export of U.S. soybeans to that nation in a larger amount, something closer to what has been the past several years. However, the futures market's duty is to actually wean out what the market's going to be, and for money to actually be betting on this seems entirely different than for a person's confidence. I mean, the market and a person's confidence don't always seem to go together to me. And the money says, hey, we're going to get this done.
Well, I think the money says right now that it doesn't know which way it's going to go. If you estimating what the fund positions are right now, they may be neutral to a little bit long in soybeans. The trade recently is guessing that the funds might be long 100,000 contracts in corn because they're friendly on corn. And there's some reasons why you should be friendly on corn. But soybeans itself, there's nobody willing to take a side. Once we know the fact, and my concern is that if we make a trade deal with China, it's kind of like you better be selling the rumor rather than buying the rumor. Sell the rumor, buy the fact. Buy the rumor, sell the fact. And right now there's rumors, and that's what's supporting the market. Use that as a selling opportunity, because just like, what was it, last week when, or 2 weeks ago when they said they were going to buy 5 million metric tons, wow, the market rallied 30, 40, 50 cents in soybeans, and now we're back down to where we started. And I think that we're looking at a flash if we do, because there's some other factors that even the China needs to buy a large amount of grain or commit to a large amount of soybeans from the U.S., will they take them right away? They don't need them right now. They got a hog industry that's shrinking every day. The demand for need for product in soybeans is not there. So they filled a lot of that with South American beans. 60% of the beans coming out of South America are going to China. So even if they buy it, they don't need to take it right away. And then we've got some logistics in 2018-19, before we get those soybeans moved out of the country. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight that fixes this problem. I think we have to be thankful that we're at the levels that we're at. And I think with the soybean production that you've had, the farmers have had this year, they've got some profit in it, and I think they should be ringing the cash register on it.
Okay, so you think they should ring the cash register, and I'm going to say you should have rung the cash register on old crop is maybe your position, and you're talking about ringing the cash register on 2019.
No, I'm talking about ringing the cash register on beans that they haven't sold yet. That's 2018-19. The 2019 beans, I think you have to look at ways to protect the downside there. It gets very difficult there to sell all the beans that you're producing because you don't know what you're going to produce. So use option strategies. There's a lot of different things that you can do in the marketplace that you should be taking action on right now rather than just sitting and waiting like so many. Option premiums are relatively cheap right now because the volatility is low. If you look at a chart, we're sideways for 2 or 3 months, so all the volatility has come out of the option premiums, which makes them a deal to buy rather than sell. There's some people promoting selling options on both sides because it's going to stay in a trading range. Well, that might work until we break out of this range. What happens if we go up and we rally the market because it is a deal and everything is great? But, there's so many different ways that you can play this thing rather than just sitting on the physical contracts of corn and soybeans. So we're saying take advantage of some of the opportunities that are there.
And for corn, we're in a different fundamental supply situation domestically, and the United States remains the big dog across the planet in production. We do have to worry a little bit about the marginal, I suppose, production that comes out of Brazil, and by marginal I mean on the global standard marginal. But at this point, we're at 1.8 billion bushels in carryout, and that just doesn't seem that big.
It's not that big when you look at the stocks to usage ratio. So that's where, 1.8 billion bushels 10 years ago would have been an enormous amount. So in relationship to the usage, no, that is not a huge amount. But we have to have continued demand from exports. We have to have continued demand from ethanol. And we need it in feed consumption. So there is some areas that we could be a little bit touchy on, such as ethanol. Last 9 weeks, we've been under a year ago. So we're about 0.9% or 1% less than last year as far as ethanol production, which the USDA is projecting it to be only 0.1% below last year. So we're running behind schedule there. The other thing is demand. Everybody's hoping China's going to come and buy corn from us. And really, I say why. They might need corn, but on the other hand, why do they want to come and buy it until some kind of a trade agreement is settled? So I think that it could be the biggest bright spot from a trade agreement, because we do have relatively tight supplies when you look at stocks usage ratios.
Yeah, so the question really is why until, as you said, the trade agreement is settled. And at this point, what we've heard at least from USTR and Robert Lighthizer this week is, while you heard there were some things that might be okay, we didn't make progress in Beijing, and that's not a good sign.
Well, I think it's part of negotiation as well. They're not going to say, well, we've got all the problems solved for grain, because grain is really such a small part of this whole negotiation process. And that's what I look at as the bottom line, because we've got to deal with intellectual properties. That's the biggest deal. That's what this is all about to begin with. So to say we answered the questions on corn and soybeans demand and negotiated something there, I think that could be very easily solved if that was the only problem. But I don't think that is. That's just a small part of this big negotiations that's going on.
What do you do with old crop corn and new crop corn at this point? Anything?
Well, it's difficult to tell people to take action one way or another. I believe that you need to protect the downside. I think there's some option strategies, buy and puts for minimal amount of money in both corn and beans that producers should be looking at, because the downside risk, I think, is very high. The other thing is when you go back and look at history, the average trading range for new crop corn, December corn, for instance, the average trading range is around 80, or is about $1 a bushel from December 1st to the December contract. We're sitting at $4. What, a dollar range, is it going to go to $5? I think it's highly unlikely. Could it go to $3? Which one is the easier way to go? In soybeans, it's about $1.80 to $2 range should be expected. So are we going to go to $11, or are we going to go to $7? So probably a combination. we can split that range and have a dollar each way and have our normal range met. But the bottom line is we're going to go somewhere, and we have to be ready for it. And I think sitting here doing nothing is probably not the right thing to do for the producer.
Hey, thanks so much, and really good luck with the webinar next week.
Thank you very much, Todd.
That, of course, is Paul Giorgi. He is with Allendale, and if you'd like to join them on their webinar next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you can find all the details on their website. It's allendale-inc.com. Well, as you know, I've been traveling all week. Part of that's with Farm Credit Illinois. Sherry Tomhave is here. We're in Jacksonville, the last one for this week, but you'll be on the road next week and probably the following week. Six more sites across the state of Illinois to talk about crop insurance in the coming 2019 season. I know next week I'll be in Paris with you, along with Milford. Those are on Thursday. There's a meeting in Springfield. And then you're doing a southern route, too. Where are you in the south?
We are in Belleville. We are in Harrisburg and Lawrenceville. That's correct. And we have a multitude of those speakers. We'll always have an ag economist that will speak, and he'll talk about the markets. And that would be, I believe, we've got Kim Holsapple up. We've got Matt Bennett in Springfield. Also in Springfield is Christy Seifert, and she's from Zurich, and she's going to talk about the Farm Bill. She's going to talk about Washington, D.C., and she's actually there in Washington. It'll be very current. Should be a very good meeting.
Yeah, so folks can check out the Farm Credit Illinois website. You know how to get there. It's Farm Credit Illinois. And if you've not made one and you're thinking about crop insurance or just wanting to look forward into the year, either one, these are a pretty good set of meetings, I know, because, well, I've emceed several of them so far, but really good information that comes about. Let's talk a little bit about crop insurance and some of the things that you're doing in the way of education, especially for the young and beginning farmers. This has been a point of real pride, I think, for the Farm Credit System. And you offer up educational opportunities, and then there's also a bit of a premium that comes along with that. Not premium they pay, just a premium that they get.
We drew 2018, we introduced this for young and beginning farmers, and the qualifications for that are basically it's any farmer that has not had their 41st birthday or is in their first 10 years of farming. And we have, obviously the program it's actually very unique, really unique across the Farm Credit System, across the United States. And we're kind of the primo, and we're very proud of that. And part of that is we offer these educational incentives, and some of it is attending the Fielding Forwards, and there is a certain incentive that would be attached to that, and there's a limit, but they have like three opportunities, if they do those three opportunities, to acquire those incentives, and that's been wonderful. But part of the incentive also is on the financial side, and we talk about them and educate them on balance sheets and net worth and working capital and all of those things to help, to reach out and try to get to know and serve our younger people, younger farmers.
You'll be, of course, looking at those younger farmers, but here you're talking at these set of meetings about crop insurance. I think there's not a lot that's changed this year, but the dates are important to remember.
Yes. So the Farm Bill got passed. So we obviously have another Farm Bill in place that incorporates crop insurance. And it did no harm to crop insurance. Actually, we have a few things that they've added, but didn't make a lot of changes. So some of the positive things are is we have multi-county enterprise units. That's something that has been asked about and talked about for a long, long time, and they did, the RMA and the Congress decided that that is something that they could help us out. And so you can get more information on that from your agents that are out there. Farm credit agents are well informed. White and waxy corn, we have a program now for that. So those out there that are growing that and having those contracts, we have the ability to insure that at a different, keep that separate if they want to and insure it under those contracts. The dairy, that's another big thing. It's not real big for around in certain of our areas, but there are areas where the dairy revenue protection is just extremely important to our farmers and our rural communities. So those are a few things. And then on the other side, we also talk a little bit about the ARC and the PLC. And, of course, we always refer back to FarmDoc because, you know, our University of Illinois people are working so hard to make that something that they can use as a tool to see. We are making some changes. It's good changes. And, once again, they fully supported all of those FSA programs for us on the Farm Bill.
Hey, Sherry, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Sherry Tomhave is with Farm Credit Illinois. She mentioned those enterprise units and the counties. Of course, you can find more information about that on the FarmDoc Daily website. Just a couple minutes. We'll be back. We'll talk with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling in Jacksonville for the day. Started out in Litchfield in the morning with Farm Credit Illinois. We're now joined by Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. I was a little worried that I might have some problems getting around today. However, not bad at all, at least the travel this morning from Litchfield to Jacksonville, other than a little fog as we got to the west of Springfield. Looks like, though, there's snow in the forecast over the weekend again, a bit like last weekend. Can you tell me about that to begin with?
Well, it does look like a fairly significant system is going to move through tomorrow night and Saturday. Snowfall totals on the low end would be in the 3-inch range, but on the high end, around 9, maybe 10 inches of snow, depending on exactly where the system goes. At this point, it appears that the best chances for heavy totals like that will be just to the north of Champaign-Urbana and then stretching on to the east through Indiana and Ohio. That also does include the Chicago area simply because of expectations of a lake effect snow band to form Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. So a fairly significant winter storm is forthcoming to a big chunk of the Corn Belt. This isn't going to be the end-all storm by any means, but 3 to 6 inches across a pretty wide area, locally higher totals, throw in some wind, and you have some travel problems.
And then we better turn our attention to South America and go through the weather forecast for both Argentina. Maybe we can start there. It has been wet, and then move up to Brazil.
It has been very wet in Argentina with a lot of rain over the last 4 to 8 weeks. It is raining there even as we speak, but only in the northern growing regions. The good news for Argentina is that it does dry out here through Tuesday with no more rain in the forecast once they get beyond this afternoon. The bad news, though, for Argentina is that more rain is on the way. We can see that a similar pattern is going to resume Wednesday and Thursday of next week and then continue into the end of the month. So more heavy rains are coming up for Argentina. To this point, the rains have been spread out just enough to prevent flooding becoming more significant. But it can't keep raining like this. At some point, it will become notable, and that is a small possibility here toward the end of the month.
And then as you make your way northward, there had been some sporadic dry spots, but maybe you start in the southern parts of Brazil and make your way through those growing regions, please.
Well, all the growing areas were looking pretty dry a couple of weeks ago. Since then, the southern areas have seen some pretty decent rainfall, and that also includes the nearby areas of Paraguay. That's about a third of the corn and the soybean crop. So that southern third is now looking okay because we did see some pretty good rain over the last couple of weeks. To the north, it hasn't rained very much at all. And even though there have been a few storms around here and there over the last week or so, it's extremely dry in these central growing areas. If you look at their first crop corn production in the north and the central areas, about 95% of that crop, the corn crop, was drier than normal. 95% of the second crop corn was also drier than normal, and about 90% of that soybean crop. This is mainly in the regions of Goiás, Mato Grosso, and Minas Gerais, which many of you probably know is one of the key growing areas of Brazil. It does turn a little bit wetter there over the next week or so as the cool front moves through, but we need big rains and we need them fast. And even though there is some rain coming up, it's unlikely to significantly dent what can easily be called a drought at this point in time.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. That's this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.